The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Steph I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And it is time for another edition of Female First, which means we are once again joined by the superb, the super, Eves. Welcome, Eves.
Hey, hey, thank you.
Yes, we've missed you.
I know. We took a little month off there.
Yeah, well... was it good? I hope it was a good month off.
Yeah. Depending on your definition of good, I mean, as we were just talking about before we started recording, Annie, things are very up and down. Sometimes things really feel like they're in disarray. But, I mean, I did go on a trip. You know, I got some outdoors time. I got some camping time in. And I got, like, some solo time. So like time to chill. So I guess that could be considered good.
Yeah.
Sounds... It'd be very good. Yes.
Yes.
Kind of a retreat. Well, yeah. Unless, you know, thoughts scream at you and then that's not great, but that's a whole different conversation.
That's an every night thing, Samantha. Like, that is the existential crisis that happens when I'm laying there trying my best to go to sleep.
And all the things come across your... Do you get things... Odd question. When you're thinking things through and you're literally trying to sleep, does it like write out in your head? Or is that just me?
No. Do you mean like you can visualize the words in
yes.
your head?
Like it's like a script in my head that goes through.
Interesting.
Wow.
Instead of pictures sometimes. Okay, I'm an odd one. Let's keep going.
No,
that's interesting.
I've revealed too much.
I think I don't get like words. Sometimes I'll get very specific phrases that I hear in my mind, but I don't see words writing out.
Yeah. Someone's going to write in and be like, that's actually, you should see a doctor.
Well,
that's always the risk. Plus the benefit, I guess.
But anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
No, it's not. But something else that happened while you were gone, Eves, is that you started a new show.
Yes,
I did. It's called On Theme, and I'm co-host of it with Katie Mitchell, who's a bookstore owner and a longtime friend of mine.
Yes, I cannot wait. So listeners, definitely go check that out. But also, Katie's going to come on the show, and we're going to have a conversation about it. So I'm excited to meet Katie, e-meet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am too. I'm excited for that to happen.
Yes, definitely keep an ear out for that, listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about what the show is about?
Yeah, so it's about Black storytelling in all its forms. So that can mean books, that can mean movies, television shows, plays, obituaries, you know. It can mean all sorts of things, like anywhere in any way that storytelling shows up in the ways that Black people are involved in it, in music as well, which is a huge way in which like hip hop is such a like popular form of music. and is a huge way that Black storytelling shows up in like literally our everyday lives and dominates so many different spaces. But it goes far and beyond like all of those things that we talk about on the show. And we just really wanted a place that was a forum to have conversations about Black storytelling, considering how powerful it is, how impactful it is, how much we all, everyone in the world, enjoys Black storytelling on a daily basis. So we've started and we've already got several episodes up. So if everyone wants to go listen to them, wherever you're listening to Sminty, you can also go listen to On Theme.
Oh, yes. So exciting. I do have a question because you and I share a love for musicals. Will you be talking about Brandy and Whitney Houston's Cinderella, please?
You know, that's... Thank you for that, Samantha. Honestly, that has not come up in the bunch of topics of conversation. I know, but thank you for that. We're going to have to talk to Katie about that because it is a quintessential piece of storytelling that includes Black actors in it, even though the original content is not specifically Black, but definitely the Black community. I can't speak for the Black community. I'm not going to pretend like I can, but I think the Black community would vote for that as being a Black property.
I just say, like, Brandy is iconic in every way, but I feel like she just really, she was already big before this point, but like really put herself as a princess, like when we didn't see that in Disney World. So I always think about it. I can't help it. It just comes to my mind.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Think about it. Don't be sorry for giving free game. You just gave me an idea.
In my head, I'm like, there's this whole like meme about men think about the Roman Empire every day. I think Brandy Cinderella is my Roman Empire because I think about it at least once a day. I don't know. It's just a thing. I just had to bring it into conversation.
Yeah,
I love it.
For sure.
Oh my gosh. From now on, Samantha, I want every conversation with you to somehow come back to Cinderella.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I think that would be amazing. Give me the most obscure thing, too.
I'll find a way.
Well, listeners, definitely go check out On Theme, go subscribe, leave those good reviews, and check it out because it is. That is very relevant to a lot of the topics that you bring onto this show.
Oh, yeah.
Including the person we're talking about today. Can you tell us who we're discussing?
So today we're talking about Susie King Taylor. And Annie was saying it's relevant because she did have a memoir. And a lot of the people that we bring on here, fortunately, not all of them, but a lot of them were able to document their own stories and other people were able to document their stories. And that is the case in a very significant and impactful way in Susie King Taylor's life. She was the first Black American Army nurse. She was also the first Black educator known to teach in a school for formerly enslaved Black Americans in Georgia. And she was the first and only Black American woman to publish a memoir of her wartime experiences during the Civil War. So she had a lot of contributions in terms of her firsts.
She did. Yeah. Multiple firsts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So shall we get into her history?
For sure. So she was born in August of 1848. Her name was Susan Baker, and she was born in Liberty County, Georgia, which isn't that far from Savannah. It's a little bit south of it. Her parents were Raymond and Hagar Ann Baker. And she was the first of their 9 children, though a few of them did die in infancy, which she talks about in her memoir briefly. She was born enslaved, and she lived on a plantation for the first 7 years of her life. And they lived on the Valentine Gress Plantation, which is in Midway, Georgia, although her father was at a different plantation for a time in Georgia. In 1855, this wasn't the most common occurrence, but it did happen for Susie. Her enslavers let her go and live with her grandmother, Dolly Reed, in Savannah. And when I was looking up her story, it said that Dolly Reed was quasi-free. And I was like, what does that mean? That makes no sense to me. Can you tell me what that means? It seems like her grandmother may have either been free or may have been enslaved and hired out. But either way, her grandmother had a modicum of flexibility in terms of Susie being able to come live with her. Her grandmother took that a little further and helped educate Susie. So there, of course, were laws against educating Black people at the time, but Susie, with the help of her grandmother was able to go to two secret schools taught by free Black women and family friends. So she got an education there. They talk about, the sources talk about how the kids would come in at different times. So they would kind of come in one by one. So it wouldn't look like they were there to be educated. And also there was other domestic services, other things that they could be taught besides things like reading and writing that they would be coming in for. So it wasn't completely off the wall to see these kids going in, but they didn't have them all come in at the same time. And the books they brought in, they would even bring in covered in some way. So there came a point, though, when Susie, she learned what she could with them. And there were a couple of other people who were, one was a neighbor and the other was a landlord's son, who she also talks about in her memoir, tutored her and helped her continue her education when she had gotten what she could get from her school experiences. By 1862, though, Susie had moved back in with her mother in Liberty County. And at this point, the Civil War had begun. Savannah, Georgia was a big site of conflict in the Civil War. And Confederate troops occupied Fort Pulaski, which is down there in Savannah, from January of 1861 to April of 1862. On April 1st of 1862, Union forces attacked Fort Pulaski. And oftentimes, enslaved people would flee to their freedom under times of heightened conflict and war. So the Union Army at first would return them to their enslavers. But later, they began considering them, quote unquote, contrabands of war. And they made them military laborers. So they were kind of off of the hook for having to return them to their enslavers. But in Susie's story in April of 1862, she, her uncle, and many other enslaved Black people escaping slavery made it to a boat that was headed out to St. Catherine's Island, which is not far from where they were in Georgia, on the East Coast, and then St. Simon's Island on the Union ship, the USS Potomska. So St. Simon's Island at the time, it is, if people aren't familiar with it, a barrier island that's off the east coast of Georgia. And at that time, it was Union occupied. So on the ship and on St. Simon's Island, Army officers were like, ooh, an educated Black person. Look at that. We haven't seen much of that before, essentially. They realized how educated she was. They realized that she could read and she could write. And so, and they arranged for her to teach on the island. So this is, she was still very young at the time. She was still only around 14 years old. But she began at that time teaching children to write during the day, and at night she would teach adults to read and write. And this is where one of her first comes in. So she became the first Black person to teach at a freedmen's school in Georgia. She taught the hundreds of people who were there who were previously enslaved.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
So later in 1862, she moved to Beaufort, South Carolina. And this is where the 1st South Carolina Volunteer Infantry Regiment formed under General Rufus Saxton. They were the first Black regiment in the U.S. Army. And then a couple of years later, though, they became the 33rd United States Colored Troops. But by that point, Black folks could enlist in segregated units. They didn't get paid for the first 18 months of their service, though. But Susie ended up marrying a guy named Edward King, who was an officer in the 33rd. And they eventually did go on to have one son. But from 1862 to 1866, Susie worked with the 33rd. So we've heard this term times before in other episodes of Female First, and that is laundress. That's what Susie's official title was. But that wasn't the extent of the work that she did. She also worked as a nurse, as a cook, as a teacher, and she cleaned and she tested weapons. And as I'm sure we are and so many of the listeners are familiar with having one title and doing so many other things beyond that title. So she was definitely that. And she was a laundress and did those other things. But because she was titled a laundress, that did like actually affect the economics of her position. She said in her book, quote, "I was enrolled as company laundress, but I did very little of it because I was always busy doing other things through camp and was employed all the time doing something for the officers and comrades." And that's the end of the quote. But she was around a lot of illnesses taking care of people, but it said that she didn't get ill with anything like malaria or cholera and typhoid, which were present at the time. But going back to the idea of her being a laundress, she didn't get pay or a pension for her work. And her husband, who was an officer, he did get pay eventually, but he didn't get a pension like other white people who were in the same positions did. But besides the work that she did in the regiment camps, she provided aid at nearby hospitals as well. And it's unclear which hospital she went to exactly, but it is likely that she went to one for fugitives from slavery and for wounded Black soldiers. So there's lots of information about the experience that she had in wartime in her memoir, which we'll talk about later because she didn't publish it until later in her life. But just if anybody is interested in the goings on of like the battles that were happening, the conflict that was happening, what her role in it was, and some of the people that were around her in the war that she was seeing, that information is in her memoir. And indeed, like a lot of the information that we know about Susie King Taylor in general comes from her memoir. But after the war, Susie and Edward moved to Savannah. She wanted to keep teaching and open a school for newly freed people. And Edward wanted to work in his trade, which he was a carpenter, but he wasn't able to get jobs because of his race in the field. And instead, he took work unloading ships. But he ended up dying in an accident in September of 1866. And not long after that is when the couple's son was born. And so she did have family help helping raise the son because at that point, you know, her son's father was no longer there to be help. And of course, she had her hands full as well doing the teaching work that she was doing. And of course, it was already difficult in this post-war period to make money for anybody, but like for a Black woman in the state of Georgia at the time, it was difficult for her. She did pursue her goals and her dreams of opening the school. She opened a few fee-based schools in the area over the next couple of years, but free public schools for Black children were opening, and it was hard for her to compete with them. It was also generally hard to make money. because the war had devastated the economy. So she lost students to those schools. She lost money to those schools. And she turned to domestic work, which is something that she knew she could rely on to be able to support herself and her family. She took work for a wealthy family. She went with them to Boston in the early 1870s, where she would eventually end up living until she died, although she did return to the South occasionally. And she talks about that in her memoir as well, her experiences dealing with segregation in the South, the separate but unequal circumstances, Jim Crow. And from her specific perspective, she had done all of this truly selfless work of participating in the war, like her efforts of nursing, of helping people who were fighting. And she saw these other things going on. And then on one side, she was like, I did this for a reason. I was dedicated to it. Like, I believe in this place and our ability to move forward. And also, I'm seeing all these other, this racism and discrimination that's happening. And that was something that she talked about and wrestled with and to reconcile in her writing. But she eventually met and married Russell Taylor, who was her second husband. And she served with the Women's Relief Corps, which was a Civil War veterans organization, and even became president of her corps in 1893. So years later, in 1898, she went to Louisiana to care for her son, who was ill, but he did end up dying that year. So through the course of her going back to Louisiana, there are these instances of her facing discrimination, and she talks about that in her memoir, which she published in 1902. And the name of that was Reminiscences of My Life in Camp with the 33rd United States Colored Troops, late 1st South Carolina Volunteers. So I won't say that whole thing every time.
Very specific, though. Very clear.
It is very clear. Love a good subheading. But that made her first. She was the first and only Black American woman to publish an account of her experiences in the Civil War. And she says in the preface to that book that she didn't even think that she would write the memoir, but that Colonel C.T. Trowbridge, who commanded that regiment, encouraged her to, and that inspired her to write down her experiences. Memoirs of wartime were pretty abundant for the Civil War and generally in during other war times as well, but a lot of the time those were men who were writing those accounts. But Susie hoped that the book showed, quote, how much service and good we can do to each other and what sacrifices we can make for our liberty and rights, and that there were loyal women as well as men in those days who did not fear shell or shot, who cared for the sick and dying, women who camped and fared as the boys did, and who are still caring for the comrades in their declining years. And that's the end of that quote. So it was definitely a feat and an effort that was important to her to write this memoir. And it was clear that she was aware of her role as a woman in the effort and also actually writing down her experiences and trying to disseminate them to a wider audience. It's about her life when she was enslaved. It's about her life as an emancipated woman. And it's about her life as an educator and a nurse and her life as a Black woman in the South. So it really is kind of a privilege to be able to have her self-professed account of that situation in so many of those different ways that gives us insight into not just her life, but the life of other people who we may not know about, who contributed in the ways that she did. Because if we just looked at her story and saw her title as laundress and considered that it just ended there, then there's so much else about her life that would be left out. And she wrote about the discrimination that she faced in the South. And yeah, so the book is available online for everybody to read. And there is commentary on it as well in certain editions of the book and a little bit more context around it and what her contributions meant. But there are a bunch of other quotes from the book that I could pull out, but I'll let people go and discover that on their own. But I will give another one, and that's, I wonder if our white fellow men realize the true sense of meaning of brotherhood. For 200 years, we had toiled for them. The War of 1861 came and was ended, and we thought our race was forever free from bondage and that the two races could live in unity with each other. But when we read almost every day of what is being done to my race by some whites in the South, I sometimes ask, was the war in vain? Has it brought freedom in the full sense of the word? Or has it not made our condition more hopeless? And that's the end of the quote. And the sentiments behind that, the idea of questioning whether the work we're doing is fulfilling and it's purposeful and is actually making any change, the idea of what freedom actually is, the sense of questioning the word freedom itself and everything that it entails, thinking about conditions that she saw throughout the course of her life, trying to think about whether they had improved at all and in what ways those improvements had been made. You can see her working through those questions and from a very personal perspective to where she was literally tending to people who had been harmed, specifically working with Black people who were fighting for the United States and doing it in a way that was very altruistic. A lot of this was she was lending her time and her body to this effort and not seeing pay for it. And when she was seeing pay for the things she was doing, it was so very little. So it's just very insightful for her to see her wrestling with these questions and how everything she saw affected her and the fact that it was published and we are still able to read it today is pretty important. So Susie died in 1912 and she's buried in Boston. And that's her story.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
And you're totally right. It's so important. I'm so glad that she wrote this down and that this exists, that we can still read it, because so often these stories are lost or erased, purposely erased, and it does diminish so much of what was happening or what someone's life, that it's not just Laundress. And that impacts like what we learn in school or what you can find on Wikipedia, for instance. Like just having this information is so important. Having this account, and that it was her personal account, is so important.
Yes, 100%.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, to go back to on theme, that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's really... So there are a lot of... accounts of people who were previously enslaved and how they viewed things, and of people during wartime, and in so many different ways. And it's just like every individual who's able to contribute to that history is important, because everybody had different experiences. They lived in different places. They had their own different viewpoints and opinions about things. And so every single account that can add to that history, to the archive of information that we have around these topics, is important, because it just gives us a wider view of everything that was happening, gives us a little peek into their lives.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I never heard this story before. We always love when you come on, Eves, and you can bring these stories to us.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, and it's so sad, because for us in Atlanta who have to study Georgia history and not knowing anything about this, and how little and like ignorant I am in these stories, it makes me so sad that it took me 40 years to hear the story, which is why I appreciate what you're doing and all the work that you put into this, and especially knowing that this memoir is out there. Like, that is such an amazing perspective, a first-person perspective, to see the heartbreaks and even the aftermaths of Civil War, because, yeah, oftentimes that conversation is left out of what happened after and how it was not great and what needs to happen. And especially if you're here in Georgia, and if you're from North Georgia, as I was, in the education, it's glossed over so ugly. Like, it's so horrific how it glossed over, and seeing her perspective and seeing how she was still hit with so much hurt, and seeing all of the heartbreak and horrific actions that were happening to her people is just, I'm annoyed. Like, I'm quite annoyed, because I'm like, I can't believe I'm 43 and now hearing this. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm done now.
I mean, it's not like a lot of that work to cover up these stories wasn't intentional.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, from the very beginning of the points that we saw in Susie's story, how difficult it was and how she had to undercover, under wraps, get her education. And
right.
Yeah.
And that's part of that conversation, is like how they went through all this. And that in itself is a giant story, and what we need to look at and why that's so important and that we need to talk about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you, as always, Eves, for doing this work, for all the things that you do under the title that you have. But we do love having you. And we are very excited to talk to you and Katie in an upcoming episode.
Yes.
Yay.
But in the meantime, where can the good listeners find you?
Y'all can find me. Y'all can go to my website, evesjeffcoat.com. So that's YVESJEFFCOAT, like the coach you wear, .com. You can also find me on Instagram at Not Apologizing. You can find me on many, many, many other episodes of Female First, talking about the amazing things that women in history did. And you can also find me at On Theme Show on Instagram right now. And you can go listen to my new podcast, On Theme.
Yes. Go do it, listeners. You won't regret it. Yes, yes. And listeners, if you want to contact us, you can. You can email us at stephaniamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast, or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff I've Never Told You. You can find us on TeePublic. And we have a book, stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. You can get it wherever you get your books. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I've Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.